So many great lessons in the songs that we sing, and so many great lessons in that song that we have just sung. Tonight, we're going to be talking about creation, which is going to be the second of our lessons in our Back to Basics series that we're going through this quarter. And this morning, we're going to be looking at a passage that is absolutely based upon that idea of our proper understanding of creation and the fact that we are created. If you don't get that, if you don't get the idea and understand that we are created, you will never understand Ephesians chapter 4. You'll never understand what's being told us to do, what is being asked of us, what's being commanded of us in Ephesians chapter 4, unless we understand creation. And I am not able to change them for some reason. Did I do that or did you do that? You did that. I'm not doing anything. Okay. Let's do it this way. Just put the whole slide up, and as I come to the end of the slide, then we'll go back and we'll talk about it. I'm going to read to you this morning from Ephesians chapter 4, but I'm going to read to you out of a new translation. And you can follow along with me. The first several verses that we're going to be looking at are going to be on the screen for you. And then as we conclude, what I wanted us to notice, we can't go all the way through the book of Ephesians. We can't even go through the end of Ephesians from chapter 4 and 5 and 6. But I'm going to read a few verses following these first few in order for us to take a look at what I want us to focus on with regard to the idea of us being created by God, and therefore what this passage means and what this passage is talking about. So if you'll turn with me, we're going to be looking at how we're to live. And how we're to live basically begins with how we are to think. What we are to think about and how we are to be thinking. And the Apostle Paul outlines that for us in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. If you'll start reading with me in verse 17, this is the translation that I'm reading from. It's the International English Bible. This is the first year that it's out. Matter of fact, the copy that I have is called a collector's edition, and the copyright date is 2014. But it's been in the works for 35 years. And Wendy Medley's father, Milo Hadwin, is one of the individuals who made contributions to this translation. But you'll recognize a lot of other individuals who are members of the Lord's body who also made contributions to this particular translation. While we were in York, Nebraska, in the spare time that I had, away from playing with grandkids, and in the spare time that I had, and flight up and other things, I read the very detailed and very specific and long 90-page introduction of this Bible. I was tremendously impressed with what they were trying to do and the way in which they went about translating the scriptures. I've read since then two books that are in the Bible and a lot of selected readings, but two books through their entirety, and one of them was the book of Ephesians. This passage, Bible, is written on a fourth grade level. It's written on a fourth grade level, but it is intended, maybe that's why I like it so much, but it is intended not to improve a translation, but to take the original Hebrew and the original Greek and to translate them as they would be translated in our current English, with a lot of care taken to making sure that it's not slang, with a lot of care taken, that it would be exactly the way these words would be expressed if given in our language today. And I think you're going to enjoy the reading of it. If you want to follow along in your translation and just take a look at the comparison, you may have to read a little bit further or read backwards a little bit to catch the translation, because this is going to read a lot simpler than the translations that we normally use. But I'd like for you to follow along with me, beginning in Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17. And what's on the screen in these first few verses is what I'm about to read to you. It's the translation. I'm going to expand on it a little bit because I've shortened it somewhat to be able to put it on the screen. But it says this. Now then, let's focus on what Paul is saying. And let's focus on what Paul is telling this church at Ephesus and what he's telling us today in the time in which we live. Therefore, I am telling the truth in the Lord Jesus. I am saying the same thing Jesus would say. I am affirming to you what Jesus has already affirmed to all of us. I am telling you the truth that's been revealed to us and given to us by Jesus Christ. Live no longer as the people of the world live. The word is not used there. The word is used elsewhere in the book of Ephesians. And the word is most often translated by the word church. In this particular translation, you will not find the word church. Because the word church is not the translation of the Greek word. The Greek word is ekklesia. An ekklesia means a gathering, an assembly, a congregation. And in particular, it means a gathering of people that have been called out to be together. A called out gathering of people. And so while the word is not in this verse hits at the very heart of what this verse or what this word is all about. No longer live as the people in the world live. Why? You're the ecclesia. If you are in Christ, you are the ecclesia, which means what? You are God's called out people. Called out of what? Called out of the world and called out of the way of the world. You are God's ecclesia. You are the people who belong to Him. And because you are the people who belong to Him, then you are no longer to live as the rest of the world is living. And that's the very heart of the meaning of the word church. And then the Apostle Paul begins to tell us why. Why shouldn't we live as the rest of the world is living? Because their thinking is worthless. Their minds have become dark. And that's why you are not to live as the rest of the world lives. Because their minds are worthless, their thinking is worthless, and their minds have become dark. You think it works now? Did I do that? All right, here we go. Did y'all like a whole screen up better? Never mind. Here is why their thinking is worthless. Here is why their minds have become dark. It's because the life of God, the way God would have us to live, the way God wants us to live. Why is that important? Why should I pay any attention to that? Why should I have any concern whatsoever that God has a way He wants me to live? If I don't understand creation, if I don't understand the Creator and that I am the created, I will never get this verse. I will never understand why this is said and what any significance it might have toward me or to anyone else. And the world sees no significance of paying attention to what God says about how to live and about the way to live. As a matter of fact, the world stands opposed to it. Because why should we listen to Him? And that's why this lesson on creation or the idea of thinking about creation is so very important. The reason why the world's mind is worthless and the reason why the world's mind is dark is because the life of God is foreign to them. They are aliens to it. They are estranged from it. They have nothing to do with it. They have no part in it. They have no concern about what God says about how I should live life. And the reason why they are estranged from it and why they are so far into it is because they don't know about it. But they don't know about it not because they've never had opportunity. They've had ample opportunity. So much opportunity that they are without excuse. But the reason why they don't know about it is because their hearts are stubborn. They don't care what he says. They are more concerned about what they want. They are more concerned about living life as they want to live it. And so they are unconcerned about what God says. They pay no attention. They don't know what he says because they've never looked at it. They've never considered it. They have no interest in considering it. They have no interest in looking at it because of the stubbornness of their heart. And when they lost all feeling of shame, Adam doesn't like the word, but this sense of oughtness that is within all of us, how we know we ought to be. And when they have lost this feeling of shame, they've seared it. They've destroyed it. Then they give themselves over to sensuality so that they could try every kind of unclean sex, wanting more and more of such things. And they just go further and further and further because they want more and more and more of things like this. Now, if you're following along with me and you're reading in your translation, isn't that exactly what it says? Isn't that exactly the way it reads? When you pull it all together and you see what it talks about. So how are we to think? Paul says, this is not the way you learned about Jesus. This is not the way you learned about how he lived his life. This is not the way you learned about this man, Jesus of Nazareth, and the way he went about living his life and what he did in his life. It was not like the rest of the world. You heard about him. You know who he is. You know he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know he is God come in the flesh. You know that when you see him and you understand him and his thoughts and his life and his actions, you are seeing the very thoughts and actions and life of God himself. Because that's who he was. He was God come in the flesh. You heard about him. And you were taught in him. You were taught about what he said. You were taught about what he did. You were taught about what that means with regard to you and your life. And with regard to you and your living. When you were taught about him, you were taught to put away your old way of living. You were taught to die to yourself just as he died. He left heaven, emptied himself of it, died on the cross in order that we might have forgiveness of sins. And in following his actions, you are taught to put away your old way of living, to put it to death, to bring it to an end. You were taught to develop a new way of thinking. Not on your own. But it's to get rid of my thought process and follow his. To develop the mindset he had. To develop the way of thinking that he had. And also to be clothed with a new personality like that of God. I want you to look at these three things. And I want you to look at them in the context of where they are and what Paul is doing here. Paul has just summarized for us the essence of all of his preaching. The essence of the primary basic things that he taught wherever he went. Not only him, but all the rest of the apostles. Not only the apostles, but Jesus himself. Is that the heart of our teaching? Is that the heart of our preaching? Is that the heart of what we focus on? You were taught in him to put away your old way of living. You were taught in him to develop a new way of thinking, to be clothed with a new personality like that of God. I mentioned to our elders when we first started talking about this series that I've been convicted that one of the things I think we have gotten to the point we focus on more than anything else is what we do in this worship service. And we need to focus on what are we doing here, making sure we're worshiping in the way that God would have us to, and that we follow his direction, not our tradition, but we follow his direction. But when I look at this focus, that impacts worship. But that's not about just worship. That's about life. That's about how we live. That's about who I am. It's about what I'm about. And here the Apostle Paul summarizes his teaching. Do you see the gospel in it? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Your death to yourself, your burial in him, and your rising to walk in newness of life. When he talks about the fact that he determined to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified, do you see that in that? Yes. You see the heart of the gospel in this. And here the Apostle Paul, in urging the ecclesia, the people of God, to get back to what they're supposed to be, he reminds them of how they heard about Jesus, what they learned about him, and in hearing about him and learning about him, what they were taught. And what they were taught was, you die to your old way of living. You develop a new way of thinking. And you be clothed with this new personality, which is like God. So we become like God. We become like Christ in our thinking. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25 through chapter 5, verse 2. So he begins to summarize. He'll spend the rest of the book talking about specific things, not everything that needs to be covered. But he will talk about specific things that need to be dealt with if I'm going to live with regard to this new way of living. Start with me in verse 25. We're going to stop when we get down to the first verse of chapter 5 because that comes to the summary. Read along with me. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one speak truth to the other person. Because we're all parts of each other. You are allowed to become angry, but don't sin. And don't let any day end without getting rid of your angry feelings. Don't give the devil a chance. The person who steals must not steal anymore. Instead, he must work hard, using his own hands to do good, so that he may have something to share with someone who needs it. Don't let any rotten word come out of your mouth. Instead, say something good to build up what is missing. Then it will be a blessing to those who hear it. Don't make God's Holy Spirit sad. You were sealed with the Spirit for the day of freedom. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, grudges, yelling, and cursing. Every kind of evil. Have tender feelings and be kind to one another. Forgive one another just as God in Christ forgave you. And here's the summary. So try to copy God as precious children do. Live a life of love just as Christ loved us. Be like God. Be like Christ. He gave himself for us. He was an offering and a sacrifice that smelled sweet to God. Isn't that the very way that the Apostle Paul will describe our life that we are to live for God? We are to give ourselves as a living sacrifice that will smell sweet to God. We give ourselves as a living sacrifice because we deny ourselves all the things that we want to do, and instead we focus on God, and what He wants us to do. And why should we do that? Because He's the Creator, and I am His created thing. And if I don't understand the basic concept the Bible begins with, creation, I'll never get this. I'll never see the reason for this. I'll never submit to this, because I will think I'm the God. I will think I'm the Creator and not the created thing. Are you in Christ this morning? Do you live a life for Him? If you died to yourself, living for Him, have you been buried with Him in baptism? Do you rise from that grave to begin the process of putting yourself to death and living for Him? If you need to come to Christ this morning, if you need to come to Christ to be saved, if you need to come to Christ to come home, we invite you to come as together we stand and as we sing.